Okay, we're recording.
Okay. The Parks Advisory Committee will open the meeting at 6:04. And would people in the audience please turn off your cell phones if you have them ready to go on? Thank you. This is the Parks Advisory Committee. We serve at the behest of the Lane County Commissioners. We are a volunteer citizen group, and I would like our current attending committee members to introduce themselves, please.
I'm Maureen Limmer.
I'm Pat Hoover.
Mary Borby.
Jim Mayo.
And staff?
Mike Russell, Parks Manager.
And Sam Fox, Office Assistant.
Thank you very much. We have public comment. We have one signee, Alana Otani. We'll take our public comment now.
I'm not sure if what I heard is relevant. I mean, is the habitat management plan actually going to be still on the agenda?
Habitat?
It doesn't look as though Jason is
here.
Yes,
it is. Yep.
Oh, it will be?
Item under new business.
Yeah. Can I get into agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I was hoping Jason would be here. I guess I can make him a copy. Anyway, what I wanted to say was that I'm glad to see that the Howard Buford Recreation Area Habitat Plan is on the agenda, finally. To say that it's long overdue is an understatement. An extension of the HBR Master Plan, it should have been made available prior to the large event task force even being convened, and it should be available to inform the work on the Park and Open Space Master Plan in those areas where it relates to Buford Park. It is time to move on beyond making decisions based on public interest surveys and personal opinions, and consider what the soil, water, flora, and fauna tell us is appropriate use of irreplaceable public land in the river confluence. From a distance, one only sees Mount Pisgah. People have to look closer to realize that the river is what is actually the most important part of that park. Water is one of the most important natural resources that a public agency can manage. Unlike the mountain, which exists in a fixed location, the river runs from its headquarters in headwaters in Mosby Creek to the Columbia. I was hard-pressed to even find a Lane County park or wayside that was not located on water. There may be two or three, but everything has a water feature. And in this case, when you're managing the water systems, a single entity cannot act alone. The river and its floodplain must be managed collaboratively, with each agency's actions having a direct effect downstream. In the case of Howard Buford, the Nature Conservancy's conservation easement matters. The river and the Thompson Slough, which runs through the North Bottomlands, do not honor fence lines. Allowing the technical advisory group, which was active back in 2000.
I'm sorry, that wasn't that.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Sending him off the island.
Didn't mean to start with you.
Oh, okay, now where was I?
Yeah.
Allowing the technical advisory group, which was active and working on the plan in 2009 and 10, to continue to be active participants in developing the habitat plan will be critical to the plan's legitimacy. Of particular importance will be input from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, which funded the original study, and of course the U.S. Corps of Engineers, which has a great deal of management responsibility for the whole system. Of more current relevance, item 3, from the December 4th, 2015 joint Arboretum and Friends of Buford Park resolution regarding the Lane County Parks and Open Space Master Plan update says in part that the future development facilities must be compatible or consistent with the preservation and protection of the natural features of HBRA. So having a valid Soil and water-based habitat plan is essential to satisfying even that resolution. Thank you. And I brought, has everybody seen or gotten a copy of that joint resolution?
No.
Do you guys all have it?
No.
No.
No, okay.
Thanks, Laura.
Could I have other people sign the sheet, even if you've not chosen to speak, so we know who attended?
There's a pen there on the table by the door, sir, if you need that.
I'd like to give the testimony if I could.
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Your reputation precedes you.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, like, do you,
oh,
you probably have.
Oh, yeah. So while the gentleman is signing it, we have one other county staff member here, Marcia Miller, Public Works Director. Oh, our other commenter, Jerry
Mounts. Hello, I'm over from Florence representing the residents in largely the unincorporated area of North Florence that concerning the draft master plan about Ocean Woods Park, which is out of all the entire master plan, this is the only county parks property that's being proposed to be sold. And anyway, the county tried to do this 11 years ago and was stopped when commissioners voted unanimously to hold the property. But the county returned it to a surplus property rather than giving it a designation as a park that you know, the county wanted to do something with. So here we are back again. You know, residents don't, you know, feel pretty strongly that, you know, this park should not be sold. And my wife and I initiated a petition drive and have, you know, approximately 500 signatures in opposition to the draft master plan proposition itself. Anyway, I do believe that we've got the attention of the Parks Department, and Steve Mokroski in the CISO News said that it's not likely that this property will be sold, you know, so that was good news to, you know, to us and our neighborhoods, that this piece of property is sort of defines the neighborhoods there, you know, Hacienda South, where my wife and I live, and Idlewood, and other neighborhoods that don't have through traffic because of this 40-acre. You know, it's largely, you know, undeveloped, and I understand the county's perspective on, you know, how it doesn't fit their master plan, but anyway, I'd like to be a part of the Blue Ribbon Task Force and any kind of input I can give that will help us preserve this, you know, refuge, wildlife refuge, and rhododendron wonderland that is in, you know, our backyard. And, you know, obviously I'm have a, you know, profound self-interest, but, you know, that in going out and canvassing the neighborhoods, you know, hundreds of people in our area, really throughout Lane County, because we've, you know, canvassed in Eugene as well, and this doesn't resonate very well with the residents of Lane County, that, you know, the county was deeded this property from the state back in 1963 with an explicit deed restriction that said it would only be used for parks and recreation purposes. So, and then it wasn't until 2003 that the restrictions were removed and the county could proceed to try to sell the property. Well, anyway, that that's kind of where we are now, and I'm just not to run on and on and on, but you know, I'm trying to represent my fellow residents and do what I can to be a voice for those in our neighborhood, as well as those that don't have a voice, the animals and the wildlife and the place itself that is a treasure and an asset to all of Lane County. So thank you,
Jerry, and thank you for driving all the way over from Phoenix to testify. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed. And then do you pass out that sign in to anybody, whether they want to speak or anyone or not, just record? Okay. Move on to item number 2. Thank you for the public comment. Agenda additions, changes, and modifications. Anybody? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Under old business, I have a couple things I'd like to do that are very quick. One about the LETF and one about ADA. American Disabilities, so if that could be almost 3 and 4 under all business. Review of the meeting summary from November. Anything that came up for anybody about Sam's getting out very quickly? Thank you, Sam. Really not, now that we're doing it this way, it's not much. Did anything come up as you scanned this that needed any other attention? Mostly just timing. Okay.
So I'm sorry, Matthew. I can't remember. Is this, are we going to vote to approve the review or not?
No.
We've done both.
So
just to clarify again, when we decided to go to this format,
yep.
This actually went out within a week after the recording goes online, goes available to the public. And at that point, I send this copy to you, and that's your opportunity to review and give feedback if there's any typos, any information that's left. Otherwise, this has already been out there for a month. And at this point, all you're doing is what Pat said. Are there any changes, any modifications, any omissions that need to be brought forward? And then there's nothing really to vote on or approve.
Right.
It's just an opportunity for you to come back and have feedback that somebody's comment was not validated, or that we missed one whole section, or that I have a typo on someone's name, so that we can change it. Otherwise, all we're saying is, did you have a chance to review it? Are there any changes? And then it's moving on. So there's not really anything to vote on it, unless you want to change that and say every time we're going to vote on it.
No, that's
okay.
Fine. I mean, the fact that it's verbatim recording is...
Right. And that's why we went to the fact that there's nothing to really approve, because all I'm doing is just giving a time frame so that people can go and get it off of the recording.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay? All right.
That clarification.
Okay.
Okay. So, looks good to us four. Mike, for an introduction.
Yes, would like to introduce our newest staff member. Ed Alverson is joining us as our new Natural Areas Coordinator, taking Frazier's position. And we're excited to have him. He comes with vast experience as a botanist and worked with the Nature Conservancy for over 20 years. He's well respected in the community. Checking his references was impressive trip, and so anyway, we're glad to have him and his expertise on board, and we look forward to providing you with even more depth to our natural areas program into the future. Ed, do you want to say anything? Yeah.
Yeah, would you like to say something?
I'm just glad to be here, and looking forward to working in County Parks. spent a lot of time working in the Eugene, Springfield, Rivers, Ridges area. This job will give me a chance to go a little further west, a little further east too, so that'll be fun.
Just curious, do you have any pot issues that you're going to start on right away? In your own mind, is there something that you see that you want to start dealing with?
I'm really kind of getting up to speed and learning what Fraser was doing and John before him, and it seems like I'm building on a good base. And the fact that my position is actually 32 hours a week and they were both 20 hours a week is a really good thing too.
So Mike, will Ed join us at our meetings or only occasionally, or will that work?
As agenda items, if he has specific items, yeah. But otherwise, it'll be just when we need him.
As needed.
Yeah. We don't want to start outnumbering the committee, so.
And as explained before too, we have to be careful of the hours because there is a limited hours with him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if he attends every PAC meeting, every staff meeting, everything like we would like him to, then he doesn't have any hours to go out in the field and do what he needs to do. We found that with Fraser and John because we needed them at every meeting and everything, and then their hours were gone. And so we have to be careful with that. And if we find out that we have lots more hours, then we'll probably see Ed a whole lot more.
I have a question. Does he know about the neighborhood groups that are helping with the parks now so he can coordinate things with them?
Yep.
Or at least I'm in the process of beginning up to
start. We're introducing him, getting familiar. Yes, he is aware.
Well, and I assume that he'll take over this phone number of Fraser and we can call him at any time, too.
Yes,
that
of course.
The PAC needs to chat with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Good. Well, thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, old business. Parks manager. Stakeholder event review and oversight committee. This is coming out of the LETF.
Yeah, so in your packet I have a memo introducing this item to you. As you remember, the Board of County Commissioners adopted the recommendations of the Large Events Task Force. One of those recommendations involves you directly, and that is the formation of a Park Advisory Committee Stakeholder Event Oversight Committee. So there were several facets to that. This discussion is intended just to start us thinking about this. We're not asking you to make any decisions tonight. But on the other hand, we do want to kind of keep this moving forward. We do have events that will be occurring in parks in 2016 that are kind of waiting to see the status of their events. These are events that have happened over many years in our park system, but are over 1,000. And so at this point, we don't have a process for them to get approval for 2016. That's, at some point, there's gonna be causing a problem. And so we need to kind of move relatively quickly. I would hope by February, we would have something put together where we could start receiving applications and start reviewing event applications.
Event applications, what about how we're going to select the embellished pack?
That's what we need
to
talk about.
Is that applications?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what we need to set, what the purpose and role of the committee is and how it relates to you, how it relates to the Board of Commissioners, how it relates to staff. We need to decide how all that's going to work and get that in place before we start accepting applications. And that's what I'm intending to start that discussion tonight with you.
Well, the first, Madam Chair, the first item there is that the PAC chair is also going to be the advisory PAC chair also. So there's one person right there.
Right. The intent of the LETF was that the entire PAC was a member. So each seven of you are members of the event review committee and then others. So Appendix G, which is attached to the memo, is the appendix in the Large Event Task Force report that specifically discusses at least the task force's intent and vision for this committee and group. So that's provided to you for your information. This was the result of a meeting between your chair, Pat, the large event task force chair, John Helmer, and myself kind of laid this out as a proposal to the large events task force. They ended up adopting it and making it an appendix to their report. So this is how they envision something like this working. You'll see their recommendation in the memo specifically. As I stated before, we have established events, and that's the table in the memo. If you turn, looks like this. So you'll see that big bright red line.
No, we don't have
color.
Black and white.
Oh, okay. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 events that are over 1,000 at this point that typically have occurred every year in our parks. The Mount Pisgah Arboretum Mushroom Festival, the Lane County Parks and Independence Day Celebration and Fireworks, Mount Pisgah Arboretum's Wildflower Festival, Nearby Nature's Play in the Rain Day, the Oregon Country Fair Camping at Zumwalt Park, and then the Oregon Supported Living Alliance Mohawk Valley Cycling Event at Armitage Park. The events below the line, we just wanted to give you an idea that there are events under 1,000 that will be happening. Mackenzie River Half Marathon at Armitage, the Merritt High School Invitational Cross Country Competition at Richardson, Oregon Paddle Sports does a commercial demonstration. The 800 there is, they're hosting an event, they advertise for the event, and it's just drop-in. As people come, they demonstrate their paddle boards and other stuff, talk about training and that kind of thing. Tour de Lane 3-day festival that features 3 100-mile bike rides and they're based out of Richardson Park. They currently have the entire campground reserved already for this event. The Run Fit Challenge out of Armitage Park. Boy Scout Camporee at Baker Bay. Again, these are events that are under 1,000, but we anticipate happening in the system. Pacific Northwest Marathon, Triathlon Eugene, Friendship Foundation, Grand International Students, Mackenzie River Guides, Outdoor Cook-Off, Lane County Parks Celebration, Kittical Mass Family Bike Ride, Triton Yacht Club Boat Show, another Marist High School Cross Country Meet, the Frozen Trail Run Fest, and the Sheriff's Mounted Posse Horse Event Camp Out.
So also, I have a question.
Yeah,
this is a digression. But was Kevin Shanley invited to come here today?
Yes, he was.
And did he give his regrets or?
He didn't indicate to me.
No, I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
And Carl said he was coming. Because it's disappointing that there aren't more of us to be in on this.
Yeah.
Go ahead, though. Sorry.
Sorry.
I know that, just to clarify, if I could, Carl has said that he's still involved in the meetings that take him right up until our time to meet, and then he has drive time. And so he has said that until those meetings end, he will be late. But he did indicate that he will be here.
He indicated that October, November, and he was through with the Monday night meetings, to me. So maybe they got added on to or something. But anyway, go ahead.
Just for your information, the notes on the bottom there, we issued 354 special use permits throughout the park system in 2015. So these are anything from shelter reservations to family reunions to company picnics. And we've been seeing a rise in that number every year. So 354 is our highest number. We expect that to go up even more. And then just the definition for you of what the estimated attendance column means. It's basically the peak. I mean, sorry. It's the total attendance for each day. Yeah. That's what it means.
So it's not cumulative.
At one time, it's cumulative, right, for each day. So anyway, that's just an example. The six events are specifically wanting some clarity on what their status of their event for 2016. You know, there are several options for you to consider with that. We could consider each event and, you know, it's really up to you what you would like to advise us to do. We could go to the Board of County Commissioners for each event and have them review and approve that contract for each one, which was basically what we've done in the past. And that would be kind of a temporary measure to get us through this year so we can establish our process. And then in 2017, they would have to reapply and go through the application process. So that's one option. The other option is, as I had talked about, we work hard and try by February to get some kind of process established we want to use, have people start applying and start processing applications. That may mean more than one meeting per month for you to get through those. It's just really important that these are not only events, many of these are partners and volunteer groups that we work with, have good relationships with, and we need to provide them some direction. And we don't want to burn any bridges in developing our process that will stumble them up in their efforts to either have fundraisers or events that help them along. So I know it's not ideal. We'd like to have some more time so we can flesh out a process. That's why I'm suggesting maybe we get a one-year agreement or something until we get our process figured out that allows these events. So it's I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are.
Mike, I have a question. In reviewing the large event ones, do we get any follow-up afterwards to see that the people we contracted with did what they're supposed to? Like if they're supposed to plant 10 trees for us, did that happen? And then do we get a review of that so then next year we'll say, hey, you didn't fulfill your contract, we're not going to renew it.
Yeah.
So absolutely. We'll get something that says how they did from year to year.
Yep. Okay. They have to meet the contract requirements, and we do an after event report, mm-hmm. and they're required to report to us what they did to meet those contract obligations.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And do we enforce the contract? I mean, if they haven't done what they're supposed to do?
Yep. As in the case of Kaleidoscope, we terminated their contract because they didn't follow what they said they were going to do.
Jim?
I have a question on, it seems like there hasn't really been much controversy over these events. I mean, certainly not like Kaleidoscope. I mean, they've gone off pretty much without a hitch in the past, is that right?
Yeah, you can see the average there is about 10 years.
Yeah.
These have been going on in our parks, so yeah, they've been going on quite a while.
The over 1,000 ones, the one above the line here.
Right, that's I'm saying. Those are the large, and that's kind of the, you know, so it seems like this first batch should be kind of easy to, you know, not a lot of things to worry about, I guess, is what I'm thinking, just based on past history. The other question was, a lot of these below 1,000 are multi-day, which would put them well over 1,000. You know, do they just not meet the intent of the large events?
Oh, I see, the 3-day.
Yeah, 800 people a day, 2,400 people total.
No, that's a good catch. Yep, you're right.
They should be above the line?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But still, you know, just it seems like we should be able to move forward with this fairly quickly based on past.
That looks like the only one. That's the only multi-day.
Tour de Lane.
Or maybe the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts.
Well, where I continue to have, you know, Mike and John and I talked about this when we put it together. The control in this is that the manager and staff, which is Mike and his staff, are to exercise, this is in the process step one, exercise judgment to determine which smaller events should be reviewed. how will we know? I mean, as the embellished PAC, or whatever we're going to call ourselves, the oversight group, I think we need some criteria to have, to give to you to say, this is what would be a trigger for us. Is it a trigger for you? Because it's, this is still a process that involves someone making a judgment call. You know, is the four tractor, 10 person tractor pull in the North Bottomlands a good thing or not? And that's involved eight people. So.
We would never do that, Pat.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm just giving you an example.
No, I don't even want that image out there. That's just totally inappropriate. That would not happen.
Okay. There could be other smaller events that could happen that would be damaging. One is the frozen trail run. And that got scheduled right on top last year of Friends of Beaufort Park. Lower. We didn't even know it was coming.
That's not true. We coordinate with them every year. They know it's coming and when it happens.
So why
did
the
website
shut down? They
do provide volunteers to help. We recognize that the frozen trail run, especially this year with how wet it was, provides specific impacts. And the way that has been mitigated in the past is they have three different routes that they use. And one route, and again, this is under 1,000 people. I think they had 200 runners this year. The way that's mitigated is they have the three routes. The shortest route is the most popular. So out of 200, probably 150 run the shorter route, and that's on the improved trail system. So the new trails that have recently been rehabilitated with new surface, out of the water, those are the trails that they run. The longest trail, which is probably the most sloppy, goes through areas that are muddy. Probably has about 25, if at the most, that run through there. Those trails experience about 25 people a day, just regularly. So we feel, and the Frozen Trail Run has committed to providing volunteer effort to rehabilitate those trails after they've had their event, or throughout the year. They actually want to adopt trail sections. Trail 4, they want to adopt a section of Trail 4 and rehabilitate it. So, yes, there are, with that event, there are specific impacts because of the time of year. We try to mitigate those by lessening the amount of impact and then working with them to volunteer to rehabilitate those outside of their event.
So the contract has them come back in as a group, as the promoted group, to do the work on the trails that they've damaged, or do they come back in and just say, we're going to help Friends of Beaufort Park sometime when they have a trail work party?
They do both, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is that...
I think they've offered, at least to the Arboretum, I'm not sure if they met with Beaufort. Yeah, okay.
They've made contact and expressed an intention to support one of our trail work parties. It might be fall 2016 before we're working on Trail 4.
Yeah.
So they provide the manpower and we provide what, like fresh bark and,
materials. So if it's gravel or if they need the tools or whatever, we can provide that. I understand what you're saying about the under 1,000. What criteria would trigger me saying, yeah, I need the group's advice on how, I think there are things we can talk about. I think that you should leave that up to the stakeholder group to discuss. Once that gets together, that can be an agenda item that we discuss. What about events under 1,000? That's not what I'm asking you to get into tonight. It's more about how do we form this thing, what's its role, and when's our first meeting, let's get going. Or is there a way, as Jim talked about, these have been going on for quite a while. We need to add the Tour de Lane and the Baker Bay Boy Scout. But those, again, 5 years for the Tour de Lane, 8 years for the Boy Scout Camp Reef. These events have been going on in the park system for a while.
What was the third one? Boy Scouts?
Camp Reef, Baker Bay.
So it's just the Tour de Lane and then the camper?
Yeah, just the two.
You say it really fast, it's kind of like how I would do a Tour de Lane. A turtle event. Slowly crawling along.
So I'm wondering, in reference to efficacy for moving forward with the review of the neutral form yet, why don't we use this special event assessment tool and look at the first couple ones that are coming up and run it through that assessment tool and see what kind of score it gives. And that would give us a, it'd be kind of like a trial run, you know? And then we can look at the scores and see if we think, yeah, this tool seems to be indicating pretty effectively and accurately impact of this particular special event. I mean, so, you know, on the following page, there's special events impact assessment tool. It's pretty explicit on scoring and what items you look at. You know, you have your checkoff area and the points you can give it. And so I'm thinking maybe we should run, well, the first one that's a big event, it's in May?
Here, Mackenzie River has 900, Mackenzie River Half Marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is in March.
Yeah.
So we can start with that one, or if you wanted to, I thought Mike's intent, and I may be misquoting you, was that you were mostly concerned at the moment with the ones that were over 1,000.
Yeah,
right.
So the first one coming up there is the Wildflower Music Festival, right? Or no, the
cycling event.
Yeah, the one on the 7th.
Right,
May 7th. So what if we were to run that one through this special event impact assessment tool and see what kind of score it comes up with? And we already know that this particular event has not historically been a major problem, right? So let's see what the tool tells us.
And now? Can we do that right now?
Well, we can do it by next. We can either do it now or we can do it on our own and bring it to the next meeting. We can all compare our numbers. And then we'll do two things for us. One, we can say, yeah, the assessment tool says that event's fine, no biggie. Go ahead and, you know, it's scheduled, it's great. And two, it will allow us to see whether the tool's any good or not. We can say, yeah, the tool was helpful, or no, that thing was, it didn't seem to work for me.
So
it didn't make any sense out of it.
The information, though, two things. I'm playing the devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. The information to plug into the assessment tool will come from Parks, Mike, and his experience. I mean, I don't know the answer to some of these on these events.
No,
the second thing is that we need to involve the embellished PAC group members, and that's another thing we need to figure out, how we want to invite them, choose them,
Madam Chair, that is absolutely correct, but in the meantime, there is no embellished group. And so in order to be expedient, we could start doing this. And yes, we don't have all the answers, but we could plug in what we think would be the answers on each one of the items.
I think that would take a lot more than our time we allotted for this subject tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of criteria there. It's a very thorough. Mm-hmm. Where did this come from, Mike?
The model Actual North Carolina uses.
Okay.
And that's, I guess that's what I would say, Wayne, is I appreciate that. But you can see in the assessment tool, it's a city park system.
Right.
There are urban issues. They talk about the economic impact. We wouldn't necessarily know that information right away. So there would be some information gaps.
Right.
To do that, there would be some tweaking probably of these categories to fit our context. And now it's a different context that's presented to you here. But it's certainly an exercise to kind of get exposed to it and how it might be used.
Yeah, my recommendation would be that we do this on our own. We bring it back in the next meeting, and we can say, well, yeah, that thing right there, it doesn't fit our system whatsoever. And we could either toss that criteria out, or we could tweak it and make it work. And in the meantime, we can be figuring out how we're going to get this extra group going.
So how do you guys feel about the fact that the, all the events above the heavy line here, the over 1,000, have already been on a 10-year average working and doing well, and they're sort of, it feels almost like the LETF talked about grandfathering in some of these things. That was a topic for a while at the LETF, for instance, the Mushroom Festival or something like that. I think, Mike, you're worried about the relationships we have, long-term relationships we have with some of these. I don't personally see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, these six needing to be scrutinized again by any group. I mean, they've been out there and they've worked. Unless you guys know something that you can bring forward about that, it may behoove us to say, go ahead and let these people know that for the time being, until we get our process going with our oversight group, that they can continue. I mean, if they need to know, Mary.
Madam Chair, I, in the comments, it looks like four of those say something about need a contract.
Right now they're under special use permit, and we would, since we're going to do it under this large events task force recommendation, we would switch to an event contract. We didn't have this threshold of 1,000 before. We were kind of taking on a case-by-case basis. Now that we have that threshold, these would fall under event contract. And so right now we have special use permits with specific conditions. We would move to a special event contract, possibly multi-year agreements, where we're saying, yeah, you can have this over multiple years, that kind of thing. That would be the intent. This first year, we probably wouldn't do that, right? Because we want to establish this process and figure out where we're comfortable. You know, the LETF did talk about grandfathering. Just in general, that's not a very good public policy way to go about things. If we're going to start a new process, let's start a new process. Everybody gets treated the same. But recognizing, again, these events have been going on multiple years without incident. So,
well, and I would like to say I agree with that. I'm in favor that let's start doing it, and all of the events have to qualify under the same criteria. And particularly, it's conceivable it could identify problem areas that we're not aware of.
Yeah, sure.
Even though it isn't on the radar screen at the moment, okay? So that would make, you know, the rest of that tool, that would take, make that tool more useful. It also diminishes, I hate to use a legal term, it diminishes liability in that when you have a new event projected that comes in and says, we'd like to do this event, this is what it would be, we understand you have a process, we'd like to go through it. And we say, okay, well, here it is, da 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 da, and then they get rejected, let's say. And then the first question might be asked, well, I know you have other events that seem to be similar. Have you put them through the same process? Well, no, they were grandfathered because of the. I'm sorry, that doesn't weigh real well. So
there is a public trust element here. Yeah. We've gone through a year and a half process. The board has adopted recommendations. Now this is where rubber meets the road. We've committed to implementing these recommendations. If we short-circuit that, that could be conceived and perceived as violating the public trust a little bit. So we need to be diligent, I think, in how we go about this. That's why I'm suggesting maybe some kind of arrangement this first year, so that next year we're set and ready to go with a process.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think we could use this first year, to establish that process and tweak these criteria, to fit our needs. And I think we do need to practice. I think we should go through these on, maybe on our own, just to kind of see how we would score them, and then come back at our next meeting and sort of say, well, this is how I scored this one, but this is the way I was thinking about it, and then we kind of hashed that out. But I'm wondering when the rest of the Blue Ribbon Commission gets appointed.
That's
we need to get them into the process.
That's about the master plan. That's not about the...
The large events?
No.
Oh, that's a master, okay,
they're
yeah.
They're separate.
So these are the, but these are the, yeah, the other...
This is the Oversight Review Committee for the large
So this
event.
Won't be a Blue Ribbon Committee.
Oh, it's probably going to be purple.
Maybe it might be black and blue.
Yeah, that's
Fuchsia.
Yeah. But yeah, when do we get them... we need to get them on board too, so they're familiar with these criteria, and and depending on what we're looking at there, we should get some pretty good help on this committee, in reviewing these things. So,
well, the original talk with Mike and John Helmer and myself was, it'd be nice as we embellish the pack to get some help that some of the LETF members would step up. Because they're the most familiar with this whole concept of an assessment tool and where we're headed. And since it's not something they have to say, you're on a committee now for another year and a half, it's a couple sessions of going through this. We're hoping we get some knowledgeable, sort of already vetted additional committee members. But that's another piece that we have to figure out. Are we going to put out an invitation to people to apply, or are we going to pick the people we want to fit, or
right, how do you select them and how do you vet them? And
yeah,
right.
Mary,
I have a question on the contract language again. Has anybody been under a contract yet, or has it always been special use permits, that language?
No, our events at Buford Park, Emerald Meadows, have been under contract.
Okay, so we've got some language of a camp contract.
But none of those are none of those contracts are in effect right now. They all were canceled in 2015. So.
But we already have some established language
of
a contract
for models,
that we can
use.
So I would recommend, as far as finding people to serve on this committee, that we maybe start with the various Friends of Parks groups and send them a request, an offer, that there's going to be this group form, and since your group has a particular interest in this, in the specific park, is there anyone in your group who would be willing to sit on this council or on this committee? Let's see what we get.
So right now, for the parks, the 10 parks that we're considering, there's Friends of Buford Park, Pisgah Arboretum, Friends of Zumwalt Park. There might be one other that I'm forgetting. So there's four.
Mm-hmm. I would think that would be a logical place to start.
Mike, was there any outreach to some of the respondents over the master plan that up the McKinsey? I think they formed a new friends group and that. Did we have any kind of an outreach to some of the other people who turned in comments to see
for large events?
For large events or for neighborhood groups too.
Yeah, I know there is several groups up the McKenzie Valley, for instance, that do help us, that volunteer in our parks. They don't have a specific organization, but there are people involved up and down the valley. There's no large events up there,
right.
But sure, we could reach out to them.
Well, it just seems like we got a lot of people interested. It would be a good time. And I know some of the parks might not, some of the 10 parks may not have reps and others do, but I was just wondering if there was much of a feedback from the master plan that we could develop some of those.
Sure.
Well, maybe we should just take the assessment tool, then we'll have to contact Carl and...
I can
maybe ask Kevin to do it just for getting on board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what, do the over 1,000 for now, and the two other ones, the Tour de Lane and the Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Do you have any, Mike, do you have any complaints in your files for any of those events?
No.
I mean, you know, I hate to approve something carte blanche and then find out, yeah, there were some issues.
I mean, we've had some, I mean, backtrack a little bit. We've had some complaints about the Oregon Country Fair camping. Mm-hmm. Worked with the city of Bonita to iron those out.
Right.
Typically the running events, they happen, you know, in the morning, they're done by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're out. So they're really, you know, other than, and they, we do a good job of having them properly sign. If they're going to use a road, they have to have flaggers and all that kind of stuff. So we do a pretty good job keeping track of all that for the running events. Nearby Nature's Play in the Rain Day is hugely popular. Of course, the Wildflower and Mushroom Festivals. There have been some complaints, kind of sporadic. We deal with them as they come up and tweak next year's event so that those are addressed. And then our Independence Day celebration at Richardson or Orchard Point Parks. I haven't heard any complaints other than the fireworks could be better. You know, typically we have a sheriff's presence there. We have all our Ranger Corps on duty patrolling those parks. And we've had to expel people, but we haven't had specific complaints about how people were treated or the noise or traffic. Or traffic gets backed up onto Clear Lake Road. We have people stationed at the park entrances to help facilitate getting people in the park. But haven't heard any specific complaints about traffic issues there. So that's the flavor of these events and related operational issues. But I don't have like a file of specific complaints for these events.
Well, it sounds like we have about three issues on the table right now. One is, how are we going to handle the next year's events, 2016's events? Two, who are we going to go to look for people for the new committee? And three, what criteria are we going to use to approve them? And who's going to approve them? So that's four things, I guess. So I think we need to do them individually right now, get them off the table, so we'll move ahead. So my recommendation at the moment, I don't know if you need a motion on this or not, Madam Chair, my recommendation is that we, on the tentative basis, approve the scheduled events for 2016 as they stand, as they're stated. And when I say tentative, meaning for 2016 only. And that those events will, in fact, be put through, or we'll say 2017, I guess, the evaluation tool, just like any other event would be. The only other caveat I might have to that would be, we'll approve the ones for next year. If any of those receive any substantial complaints next year, then they'll be put through the assessment tool to see if they're approved for 2017.
And I think, though, that Mike is just saying, and probably our LETF members in the audience would say, it's not up to us to go around what the LETF has just worked a year and a half to put together. I think the assessment tool was meant for when the committee gets together and sits down with staff, and then we say, what about this, what about that? I could not do this assessment tool without being next to Mike saying, do they do this, do they do that? I don't know if it's cultural, I don't know. These assessment tools are very specific. I don't know if they have recycling or no recycling. I don't know. We couldn't assign values even in a practice run without Mike saying, this is what they do, this is what they don't do. We've never had them do that. And I thought the point was to get the oversight group together with the PAC, sit down with the contracts that maybe sit down two meetings and with the contracts that are coming up, and just checking off the assessment tool and getting the scores. But our only source of information, unless you have some that I'm not all privy to, is your experience with these particular promoters.
Right.
Because I don't know. I mean, I couldn't do this Asheville assessment tool without somebody telling me what each group has done over the, we have a history, 10 or 17 years.
And we don't have a application process yet that marries that information with how it's going to be scored. You know, the intent would be to develop a process when they apply, they understand what criteria that we're looking for, and they're addressing that in their application.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't have to be there. You could look at their application and score their application.
Yeah, yeah.
That we don't have that right now.
But we need to give them a heads up about what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as a courtesy and as a facilitator.
Where our values are and what we're looking for.
Right.
You're going to score high if you do this.
Yeah.
You're going to score low if you don't do this or whatever.
My question is, who is they?
Event promoters that are asking to
applicants,
do an event in the park.
Are you talking about the ones in 2016 or the ones in 2017?
Well, I guess ultimately everybody. Anybody who wants to do an event over 1,000.
Including 2016.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm asking you to wrestle with here is what do we do?
What I'm hearing is that no one here on this committee has the wherewithal to use that tool, that only staff has that information. So thereby, if we're going to use the tool, it seems it's logical that staff use the tool to do the evaluation.
And then bring the PAC the numbers.
So then the question is, does staff have the budgeted time to do that?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how long it would take, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
If you're saying, gee, we think I have done 10 minutes, or no, you're talking about a month worth of time here, manpower-wise, to wade through this thing. So that's what I'm asking.
Well, and you would know, Mike, from signing up these events for the last 5 years of your tenure, you would know what they do and what they've asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't attend these events to even be a participant to know how to answer some of these. But we know what scores we're looking for. I mean, this is pretty spelled out. So if, say, to start with, this 8 things we've identified, the 6 grandfathered, we're not going to use that word, but the 6 that have been there successfully and these other 2, if you could run through the Asheville assessment tool and come up with numbers and bring them to the PAC, and then we could say, how did you arrive at that number? You could explain, oh, this was because they always recycle all their water bottles. This is because, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we could take a shot at it.
From a history standpoint, you would know.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the numbers look good, and we could then, within your timeline, which you want to get this going by February, we could say, well, go ahead on these right now. Do the, you know, they look good. And then you could also tell us what didn't work with the tool. And we could then put our heads together and say, okay, in this category, let's add this and this and take away that. It doesn't fit because it's a city park and we're a county park system. And we could together make the assessment tool more applicable to use for us.
So is the we going to be the PAC or is the we going to be the new?
The Embellish PAC.
Yeah.
Well,
we need to decide.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes, staff could do that for each of these 6 events, 8 events, and come up with what we think it would be, recognizing that the current assessment tool doesn't quite fit, and we could highlight those areas and talk about those. The question ultimately is, are we willing to take the risk of doing that in light of all the work the LETF did for this first year? Or is that a risk we're willing to take in public trust to kind of short circuit that for the first year so that we can get moving? Ultimately, that's my question to you. Are you willing to take that risk to kind of approve these for one more year before applying the LETF process?
I would feel comfortable with that. For these existing ones, since they have not been a problem in the past, but if a new application comes in with somebody, then...
Absolutely. New application. We don't have an application at this point, so. Then, just to let you know, we are receiving requests, though. We have about six events that are requesting. Now that the LATF is over, we just got flooded with requests. So there is a demand out there.
Okay, good.
Mary, what if, let's see, this is December meeting. January meeting, you guys bring that to us, and maybe by then we can have part of the Embellish group with us and go through the process of educating us along the way. And we can do the assessment on that and then say, sure, go ahead with it, because we probably know they're going to pass anyway. But go through the process, so it's a learning thing for us, and we'll have questions to come up when we review it. And also this contracts, I'd like to see contracts in the language that's used in those things.
Sure.
Because they're all going to be under a contract, supposedly. Except for the ones that are Lane County Park supported. I mean, I hate to void the LATF in all matters of it. I mean, they put in so much time. So I would kind of like to start educating the people that are going to be on this board. Advisory committee.
I wonder when we're going to get these people on board. I mean, this is a busy time of the year. Next meeting is January 11th. I really don't see many.
Well, here's Howard Buford. Four of them.
People ready by then.
Well, one, two, three are at Howard Buford. I would think somebody from LATF would be willing to step up.
We do have this.
Just to go through the process.
So we have someone from the LATF in our audience. Could we ask Mary to give us an opinion of this dialogue that we're going around about? I mean, you've heard what we're talking about. You see the dilemma of timing and honoring the work of your group. Can you talk to us about that briefly?
Well, the Asheville assessment tool wasn't intended to be used for county events. It was an example that one of the members found as what an assessment tool could be. And I think the general feeling from the LETF was that the basic principles of an assessment tool would be decided by the oversight group. Questions or assessment things that were more pertinent to a county park. I mean, because that's the first thing I said when this was presented is, well, this is for a city. I mean, these things, a lot of them weren't applicable. And they said, well, this is just a general idea so people get a feel for if assessment tool thing would have to be figured out. Is the high score going to be the winner, or is the low score going to be the winner? I mean, there was all these different scenarios, and the LETF just said, well, we have the general ideas of what should be used as an assessment, but it was also Parks knew what they would be looking for. So it was more like you need Parks input as to, like you said, they already know all that history, so you would want to look to Parks as to helping form the assessment tool.
Right.
And
yeah.
I don't think it was meant to give Parks a whole nother job. I think that's why there needed to be, who was going to be on that oversight? Somebody from tourism, somebody from, you know, and they were supposed to bring their expertise in to say pertinent. And I think the tourism and those were probably more the economic impact.
Yeah.
The environmental impact person would tell you if it, you know, on the assessment, oh God, is it going to trample 180 acres or is it going to be confined? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it is kind of like you have to invent something, but it doesn't, I don't think it had to be as detailed as this. I think it was more, this thing was supposed to mitigate negative impacts kind of thing. But then that was our dilemma too, is because, well, because part of it was economic. Well, the highest score goes to an event that gives most back to the county. But then our dilemma was, is, well, you know, what about the nonprofits? Like the Mushroom Show doesn't really, I don't think, return money directly to the Parks Department, but the Mushroom Show saying, but we take our money and we put it back into the park system. So it was like, oh. So that's why the assessment tool for some people was just like, does it make it more complicated in deciding what's appropriate? I mean, and Mike already knows, you know, the success of these other events. So I think it was more targeted to anything really big and new coming in, kind of like looking to the future of what could happen, you know.
Yeah. Like what
Which gives us the time, I think, to hammer this out.
I mean, I don't think this had to be implemented the day after the commissioner said yes. I think it was more of a like, okay, we got the roll, you know, we got it going, now it's going to take a while.
We have a new guy, or new person coming on at some point here, right? The county's going to hire.
Two of them.
Steve's going to hire two?
Yeah. Oh, no, you mean to the PAC?
No, for the planning.
Oh, yeah. There will be a plan.
Again, for the master plan, not
for the master plan, but there might be some expertise there in measuring recreation-related activities.
So
it could help us pare this down or get it more tailored to the county instead of a city situation.
So under the first year considerations, it says in the first year, the stakeholder group and the parks were supposed to develop an assessment tool based on criteria that developed by the LETF and approved by the Board of Commissioners. The assessment tool may need to be assessed and refined over time as experience is gained. In the first year, the PAC makes particular effort to include members of the LETF since they have the most useful background. So maybe we need to put out an invitation to LETF people, for one, friends, groups, whatever, and say, here are the categories we're looking for. Do you have anyone willing to sit with us a couple times a year? It's not a full-time committee, you know. Put it out there in a way that doesn't sound like they're signing up for a lifetime commitment. And then we get...
It may be a year commitment, though, to figure out all the process.
Yeah.
Once we get the process, it may be one or two meetings a year.
Yeah, plug it in.
But for this first year, it may be several.
Yeah.
But yes, I think we can do it just like a PAC vacancies. We advertise it.
Yeah.
We let people know and make it available to anyone and everyone. Reach out to our partners and let them know this is an opportunity, please, and provide an application and bring them to you next month with our evaluation of the events.
Yeah.
I just really want to respect our time. We spent way over time on this, so I do have to leave at 9, so don't want to stay too late. So I do think that we can do those things. Staff can go back, take a shot at the evaluation, assessment tool, come back with that, and maybe next month kind of get our head around, here's the people that are interested, reaching out to them, getting that down to some manageable number. One of the recommendations of the Large Events Task Force is each park would have representatives, and each park would have specific neighborhood representation. So this group could be quite large if we're considering Zumwalt and Armitage and Buford Park and Baker Bay, and it could be very big because we have these different interests, and the LETF is recommending neighborhood representation and friends group representation from each of those parks. So it's going to be a challenge.
Oh, yeah. It could be that we call one group the Fern Ridge Group.
Yeah.
And let people from, you know, Perkins or Orchard Point or Richardson.
I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. You're going to have a different group based on the application.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and as you go through the assessment tool to check on the ones we need to check on right now, the eight, then you can send to the PAC through in the next month your idea of what the assessment tool would look like for what you guys know that we need to ask.
Yeah.
And say, here's an assessment tool that's a refinement of the Asheville one.
Right.
We then can look at the Asheville and go, oh no, we still think they need to have this, or you're right, let's take that out, and right. We can do that before we come back in January.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I interject something? I think, Mike, you mentioned coming back next month with two pretty big things. And
yeah.
We're like 2 weeks away from holiday time when a lot of people are gone, including people you want to even reach out to be on these groups. I think it sounds way over-ambitious.
Too ambitious? Okay.
I agree with Mary. It's not... Getting this all in place immediately was not the intent.
And that was not my intent tonight, is not to do that. We need to move it along, but
yes.
You know.
But I think doing the assessment, or at least going through that and maybe coming up with a rough thing, but I don't hear a lot of clarity around this group yet.
Yeah, right.
In terms of who's on the group, it could be enormous, and I also hear not a lot of clarity on, is that group going to help develop the assessment
right.
tool? Because I thought I heard that. But then you really do need to have them be working on that this next year.
Yeah.
And you can't have a cast 1,000 in here.
Yeah.
Or you'll never get it done. So I think one of the things you really need to focus on is who's going to be on that group. And that's up to you, really. And, I mean, going on the recommendations of the task of the LETF, I think you need to, it seems like January 11th is really right around the corner.
Right.
So I just want to be real about what can actually get done.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, I'm feeling that too, Marcia.
Yeah, I mean, you all have families, everybody's going to be busy.
But I hear Mike too, because we shut down basically events for 2015 mm-hmm. and at least at HBRA. And the whole basis of this thing is the parks has got to stay solvent. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's a catch-22.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have the ability to say, oh, we're not ready. We haven't done we haven't got this put together yet. We haven't invited people, and we don't have our assessment tool ready. So meanwhile, we've got people that have counted on doing their events in our county parks, you know, chewing their fingernails. Are we going to get chosen? Or okay. Are we okay with tentatively.
I guess is the word going out to the people that were on the large events task force that we're looking for?
Yeah, it will. We have an email list to them. We can do that.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
And they can let us know by January 11th and start making some headway on this at least. And the names of the people.
Yeah, I mean, they are very knowledgeable. Actually, I've talked to a few on the task force that would be willing to give us some more time. So
yeah, and they had broad representation too. I think
yeah,
that'd be a good place to start, and then you know, other people would be interested.
Okay, next topic: PAC vacancy.
Okay, Commissioner Sorensen. Appointed Kevin Shanley, who's currently serving on the board of Friends of Beaufort Park and Mount Pisgah. And the board approved that appointment last week, or is it this week? I can't remember. Is it tomorrow? Maybe it's tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he just did it last week.
It's all a blur. So it's tomorrow under consent calendar. He'll be official, and he will be at your January meeting. This is to replace Larry. Who's the Dale's replacement, Commissioner Farr. I've reached out to him. I keep hearing maybe he has somebody, maybe he doesn't. I will check in with him again this week and see where he is on that. My understanding is he has somebody in mind, maybe he hasn't talked to them yet or whatever, but he does have somebody in mind. My hope would be to get that appointee ready for your January meeting. If not, it'll be your February meeting.
Well, and then we need to get notice to Carl and to tell him he has homework.
Yeah,
to Kevin to get them up to speed.
Yeah.
Okay. I would appreciate having you work with FAR. We went through a session with people not being timely,
right.
And I really
right.
would like it to be, especially with the work we're doing. Mike, the third thing I was adding on was that, just to have it verbally in the record, that the LATF report was passed and approved on the November 10th Board of Commissioner meeting as written. I think a lot of people here were involved with that or at that meeting supporting that, but in case those who weren't there, that report was approved as written. And it's in the record and it's a done deal. The other piece I wanted to add for old business has to do with the American with Disabilities Act. Do we have, meaning county-wide, do we have an ADA specialist on staff for the county?
It depends on what you're talking about. If it's like engineering, design, construction projects, we do have a professional staff that do that kind of engineering work. We don't have somebody on staff that we go to, like for instance, access consultation, where we go out to a park and we assess a park for access. We don't have anybody on. We would have to hire somebody to help us with something like that.
Okay. Well, I had an instance, and Mike knows about this. I came in to him about an ADA issue at Armitage, and that. The parks are out of compliance at that park. Still, this started in August, and I just wondered is there any plan to, in the future, get some ADA assessment of our different parks?
Where are we out of compliance?
It's that issue with the Sanipac garbage cans sitting in the accessible parking spaces.
Yeah.
That's totally.
I will get right on that. I thought we had addressed that. I'll get right on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in general, that's just one park I happen to go to a lot, but I have no idea the other 69 parks if the same thing's going on. But do you think at some time we will have enough money to hire for someone outside to do an ADA review of our parks? Like Willamette Lane's doing one, City of Eugene's doing one.
So I think the Parks Master Plan update has provided a good opportunity for us. We've gotten a lot of good feedback regarding ADA accessibility input into the plan. So I think there's a good opportunity to get community involvement in what that looks like, more than we have in the past. So I think through the master plan, we can definitely concentrate more on that in the plan. Specifically for each park, doing an assessment, that would be a goal. Obviously, it'd require some resources,
yeah.
And I haven't identified those yet or whatever, but yes, that would be a goal. That's all I can say right now.
Yeah, okay. New business. We have item number one, a discussion about the HBRA Habitat Management Plan, and with us this evening we have Chris Orsinger and Jason Bolivar.
So guys, come on up to the table. This is Chris Orsinger and Jason Blazar from Friends of Beaufort Park and Mount Pisgah. Parks has been working with them over several years to draft a habitat management plan for the Friends of Beaufort Park Mount Pisgah area. We have kind of a semi-draft. It's not ready for public consumption yet. We kind of got an initial draft, went through kind of an initial staff review, and that's kind of where it stopped. So Parks budgeted $15,000 to finish that process this year, this fiscal year, so by June. And so the Friends, basically we've hired the Friends to help us complete that process because of their involvement and because of their expertise at the park. It just seemed like a good fit for us to use them and their resources. So with that, I'm going to kind of turn it over. We haven't talked about this, but I'm just going to kind of turn it over for Chris and Jason to kind of go through the highlights of where we're at and where we're going in the process. I do want to say there is a cover memo in your packet for this item as well, and it does identify check-in points over the next several months. Just wanted to highlight that. On page 2 of the memo, tonight's meeting is in phase 1, so we're briefing the Parks Advisory Committee. In phase 3, in that time frame of April to June, we are wanting to come back to the Parks Advisory Committee and the board to give an update on the process. And then again, July to November, we'll be coming back to you to present an update how we're doing. So a part of this, and I'm sure Chris will get into this, is the public process we want to go through, and recognizing that at the same time we're doing a master plan update process, we don't want to confuse people with the two processes. We need to make a clear distinction between the two plans. My proposal is that this is an administrative plan for how we manage the park, not necessarily a land use plan. And so it won't rise to the level of a amendment to the master plan or that kind of process. It's not a land use plan. At this point, that's where it sits. As we go through the process, if it begins to rise to that level, we can certainly switch to that kind of process.
What was it when it started? Was it in this?
It's always been a management plan.
Always a management.
It's always been a park management plan. The idea would be that, you know, as we're going along in these kind of coinciding processes, that the master plan would be consistent with the Howard Buford Recreation Area master plan, would be consistent with this management plan, and back up the